entered access code 648568.
Where is this file? Do you know where else it is?
No, I put it in those words.
Oh.
I put it in those words.
Because
I wanted you to really understand this scripture.
Yes, yes.
So therefore, when we have when somebody brushes up against us,
mm-hmm.
and we have an opportunity, that's God saying, I want to speak to them.
Yes.
I want to encourage them through you. Because it says here, for it is not ye that speak,
that's right,
but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Whew, that's deep. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Lives in you. Lives in you. Dwelleth in you. Lives in you. 1 Corinthians 14:25. And thus are the secret of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Wow.
So this is Jesus doing this?
This is Paul.
No, where it says that?
Yes.
This is Jesus.
You're talking about Jesus, yes.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's worshiping God for us.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yes.
My.
Yes. When you worship and you're praising God, that's Jesus. Worship. That's Jesus.
He's interceding for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Inside of us.
Lord.
Yes.
I mean, but the thing is, before, the way that I would picture in my mind when Christ is interceding for us,
mm-hmm.
is he's interceding for us at the right hand of God. But here, it's saying
watch this, Mom.
That he's in us interceding. In
if
us.
I say right now, And I know when I say that your heart of mind and your flesh will buck up against it because it's just designed to do it. If I say right now that you are right now sitting at the the right hand of God now, you can receive that.
Yes, I can, because at the last study it said that God, Jesus, and the kingdom of God dwells in us.
Dwells in us.
And
yes.
So that lets me know right there where I am.
Yes.
But
yes.
But this thing that he's falling down on his face, face and worshiping him, worshiping God.
Yes.
Through
and report that God is in you of a truth.
Yes. Oh my.
He's speaking.
Yes. Some powerful stuff.
Yes. Because, man, the prince of this world, what? It has what? Blinded the eyes.
Yes, yes, yes.
And this is opening our eyes to the truth.
Oh.
Because he wants you to know that I dwell in you. I am alive and I'm in you. You are a body, but yet you are my temple.
Oh.
And the car of mine is going, huh?
This is blowing us away. This is some powerful, powerful. I see why you took this particular time, because it would have been like Greek to us. We would have said,
yes.
What?
Yes. Yes.
But we're at a place now where we can receive it. Although this is tougher than beef jerky, this is messing with my head and my mind and my heart and my spirit.
Yes.
Really, I mean, this is some powerful stuff.
Yeah. And thus are the secrets of his heart. See, the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth.
Oh.
Yes.
Now I know what renewing of the mind is all about.
And
it's a mind blower.
Yes. And you. This thing, now this is Paul writing to the Church of Corinth. This thing was stated that he was in by writing this. Yes. The Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. So, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Now watch this. Watch this. We have that scripture. It bothers me. I heard it last night. The media bothers me because people really don't know what that scripture means. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So when you study the scriptures, right, you'll find that what? You approve unto God because what? Because God dwells in you.
That's right. Yeah.
And rightly dividing the word of truth is really understanding who you are.
Yeah.
And that God dwells in you.
Yeah.
Now, when you don't rightly divide it, you won't even know those things, would you?
That's right.
Yeah. You would really know. And the Holy Spirit leadeth you into all truth. The truth is being told tonight and this week and all these Bible studies is that Christ dwells in us. God dwells in us. God speaks in us and through us. Remember, he's above all,
right.
Through all,
through all,
and in you all.
Yeah.
That's what Paul can say. It's no more than I do it. But they just say that all of them, didn't they? Galatians 4:19. You, my little children, of whom I travail in birth, again unto Christ, be formed in you. There it is again. Be formed in you. Christ be formed in you. Ephesians 1:12-13. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Just that we should be to the praise of his glory, first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted. After that, you heard the word of truth. The word of truth is not a book. Okay? The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that, you believe, you were filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. This is to hear God, the word of truth, tell you in whom you believe the good news of your coming salvation, if you think the word of truth is the Bible, then you think you have found eternal life searching the scriptures. In John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But your faith is incorrectly in the Bible as the word of truth. The scripture speaks of the interim reward of seeking, like when you hear the Lord say to you, I have placed before you an open door which no one can shut. That's Revelation 3:8. And when you receive a measure of his spirit. Do you want to understand that?
I was going to go to Revelation 3:8.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. But thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name.
There it is.
So the third thing, when you receive the Spirit, that's the door that has been opened and cannot be shut.
Yes. The measure of a Spirit is the door.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it can't be shut.
Yes. And what he's saying is that just by reading the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
that's not going to be your salvation. It's the Spirit that's in you.
Yes.
That's doing it. Yes.
Not just reading his word, it's the spirit within you that's doing it.
Yes.
The spirit's working it.
Yeah.
The word that we read is not doing it, it's the spirit on the inside.
The spirit.
The word which the word of God which we are reading today, that is, now we have to understand that this word of God was by inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The word is given by inspiration of God. So this is
the word of God.
Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, my words are what? Spirit. And they're life, right?
Yeah.
So this is spirit here and life. Then we understand that we read that scripture about that it's not us that speak.
Yes, it is not.
But
and
it's God.
I think the reason why they say that is because people that go into the seminary and use this as an occupation, they know the word. They have studied the word. They studied the Greek. They studied the Hebrew.
Uh-huh.
They studied this. They know all of the words. But if they have not accepted Christ in their lives, then that word is not saving them. They have to give their life over to Christ. The Holy Spirit has to come and teach them and guide them. So what it's saying is that you can know these words, but by knowing the words, that is not your salvation. It's Jesus Christ that is our salvation.
At that time, Jesus was talking to, I believe, the scribes and the Pharisees at his time, and they wanted to hold on to the law of Moses.
That's right, because they knew the word. That's right.
Okay,
yeah.
So
okay.
Therefore, but Jesus said, guess what? You can go ahead and hold on to that, because what you're going to find is it testifies of me.
Yes.
Of salvation through me.
Yes.
Yet they failed to come to him.
Yes.
Yes.
So, yes, if you search the scriptures, you know, in them you think you have life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the life that you want is me. Because I bring the life. I bring the salvation. Jesus is life through Jesus Christ. Salvation is through him.
Mm-hmm.
And they were stuck when he said that. They were stuck. So, right? The news of the, yeah, there it is. News of your coming salvation. All right. Ephesians 3:16. Can somebody read that, please?
I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen. Huh?
Yes.
His glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being.
In your inner being. Lord, give me strength.
It's already there.
In your inner being. Yes.
So we should be speaking differently then. We should not.
We are speaking differently.
We should be saying, instead of, Lord, give me strength, Father, help me tap into the strength that you have already given me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, you can say that. Yeah. Then you tap into that. That's what we've been being talking these last about the strength that we already have.
Teach me to tap into the strength that you have given me. Teach me
mm-hmm.
to utilize yeah. the strength that you have given me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Thank him that we already have the strength. Hey,
that's even better,
Chris.
What did you say, Chris?
I just said we thank him that we have the strength already.
Yes.
Oh,
The only weakness, the only thing that's messed up about it is our what? Our bodies, our flesh. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
And then there's the separation, right? There's no more I to do it. That's the separation. But it's just a sin that goes in what? Me, which is this body. Yeah. But see, you only can mortify the deeds of the flesh through what?
The spirit.
The spirit.
Yeah.
So you must do things, you must be spiritual to mortify the deeds of the flesh.
Yeah.
It's only through the spirit you can do those things. You can't do it carnally. The spirit of God, which worketh in us.
But that's what they teach, that for you to do it carnally so that you can receive the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Could you say
isn't it being taught that you got to do it while you're carnal in order to receive the Spirit?
You mean, what you're saying is that we have to do something in order to receive it?
Yeah. That's what's being taught.
You must be obedient. And what's causing the obedience? The Spirit of God.
The Holy Spirit, yeah. We can't do it on our own.
Yes.
Yeah.
If we could do it ourselves, we would need the Lord.
That's right.
Oh, well, you still need to make an effort, brother.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Well, that is
a rewashing of the word, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It is. For the grace of God, that bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men. The grace of God.
Yeah.
Okay? It was the grace of God, the unmerited favor, right, of God, that bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness. Now, it's the Spirit of God that's teaching us these things.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Correct.
It's the Spirit of God teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The Spirit of God is teaching us these things. You're not. It's not you. And every day you don't have a Bible in front of you every day, do you? Reading it?
No,
not every day.
I got my word right here, right there. I got it all. You got the word in you.
Yeah.
If Christ is in you and Christ was the word, thank you very much. You do have the word with you.
Oh, he'll tell you where to find your
word. Bible study is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Stephanie, we are reading right now a lot of scripture. So if you have your Bible, even though you don't have the study in front of you.
Yeah, I have my Bible. Where are you at with the Bible?
We're about to read Colossians 1 and 27.
Okay.
And then after that, we're going to John 6.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
We're still on 19.
Okay.
Up in Colossians.
Yeah, Colossians 1, verse 27. And then after that, we're going to go to John 6.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is some powerful stuff you're getting ready to read here.
Huh?
This is some powerful stuff that you're getting ready to read if you're
Sitting
at home. Big
time.
Oh, you were reading me. That's right.
Yeah, I was. Unless he wanted to start, that's fine. I can read. It doesn't matter. Stephanie, let me know when you have it.
Okay, Colossians 1 and 7, right?
27. You know what you could do, Stephanie? If you have a pen and paper, you can write the scriptures down. Just listen.
Yeah.
And that way, it'll be a little bit easier. Yeah, then you can look them up.
Absolutely.
Later on.
Thank you. Go ahead.
To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That was Colossians 1 and 27.
So it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ out you, outside of you, with Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Mm-hmm.
So Christ dwells inside of us. John 6:56.
He who feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood dwells continually in me, and I in him. His flesh is word spoken to you. His blood is the spirit by which the words are spoken. Gentleness, kindness, peaceable, easily accepted, easily understood, direct and applicable to your condition, not sacred, sarcastic, harsh, bitter, condemning, or questioning.
Now, I love what it says, non-sarcastic, harsh, bitter, condemning, or questioning. Now, we understand that the God, he's gentle, he's kind, peaceful, easy, accepted, easily understood, direct to the applicable to your condition. So he's speaking with any condition, every condition or any condition that you're in, he's always speaking to that condition. Or should I say he meets you where you are at. He meets you where you're at. So sometimes, you know, if you're a part of Bible study and some things that you don't understand, if you go home, the Lord will begin to unravel those things and unfold those things so you'll understand.
Yes.
And so, you know, a lot of times, you know, these ministers, they want to use these big old words that we can't even pronounce ourselves. And we get more frustrated trying to pronounce them than to really understand it. So we have to kind of speak plainly so everyone can understand it.
Everyone.
Okay. And to give you a good illustration of that, when the Lord fed the 5,000, remember, he blessed it, and then he broke it, and then he gave it to the disciples, and the disciples broke it down a little bit more, then they gave it. women gave it and broke it down a little more to the children. So you see the different levels that the word of God was broken down, so everybody had a part to partake in it or understand the word of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he will meet you where you're at. All right, John 6:57.
Even so, whoever continues to feed on me shall live through and because of me. The next step in Christ is when he returns in glory with his Father to establish his kingdom in your heart.
Say that
you
again.
Are,
wait a minute. Say that again.
Mm-hmm.
Say that again.
Next step in Christ. The next step in Christ is when he returns in glory with his Father to establish his kingdom in your heart.
In your heart. Uh-oh.
And you're trapped.
Easter, we got a problem. Go ahead.
You are translated into his kingdom, paradise. We reach Paul's third state. He describes in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me.
Oh, whoa, wait a minute. Hold up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Hold
on, wait a minute. There it is. There it is. Paul said he was crucified.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With Christ. And here it is. It is no longer I who live.
But Christ who lives in me.
So Paul was finished at that point.
Mm-hmm.
People no longer seen Paul. They seen
Christ.
People no longer seen Paul. They seen Christ.
Wow, the next sentence is powerful too, yeah. Isn't it?
Go ahead.
At the stage you are freed from sin, which was Adam's state before he fell. Here you have peace with God and a pure fellowship in the Spirit with your fellow believers, Christ and the Father. In this state, you are like Adam, capable of falling to temptation if you do not watch carefully. But you have power to resist. And when you show your faithfulness, you go beyond the state of Adam to union with Christ and to sit down in Christ who never fail.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Many of the New Testament letters were written in warning to those freed from sin, but still capable of becoming entangled in sin again. This is the completion of your salvation, salvation from the world, the evil in the world, sanctification, separation, the state of no longer being capable of falling to temptation. We are with Christ in our consciousness, sight, and awareness.
Now, we are what?
With Christ.
In our
consciousness.
Sight, and awareness.
Wow.
Uh-huh. The Bible says that Christ was tempted at all points like as we are,
right?
Yet without sin. So this is not a sin being tempted. The sin is what? Falling to the temptation.
Yes. Because even Jesus was tempted.
He was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. So there's no sin being tempted. But the sin is falling to the temptation.
Yeah,
right.
So you may be tempted to steal that dollar, but then you don't. That means you didn't sin.
Right.
Yeah. You may be tempted to do this. You may be tempted to do that. But when you don't do it, see? Oh, my goodness. See, we tried to, I thought about stealing that dollar. But did you do it? Uh-uh.
That's why you said you have to watch carefully.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, the greatest temptation is to doubt God.
And he said, watch carefully. Mm-hmm. But you have power to resist.
Yes.
Yeah. And it says, and when it says, and when you resist, the devil shall flee.
Yes. Resist the devil.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
You know, in the Lord's Prayer, where it says, lead us not into temptation.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
What is being said there?
Well, what's the rest of the scripture?
Well, it's the Lord's Prayer. See, I thought it was talking about how they don't know this.
Well, deliver us.
Deliver us from evil.
All evil.
But the thing is, why would he say, lead us not into temptation?
That's a prayer that all of us should pray, not to be led into temptation. Well, you can ask God that, but the Son of God was tempted in all points like as we are. Look at the likeness of that. Now, if Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, was he led into temptation?
Pray against that, aren't we? Because
was he led into temptation?
We pray against it. My Father God, take that away from me. That I don't want to even think that thought or talk that talk. You know that.
No, it says, lead us not. Lead us not.
At the time when he was teaching them to pray that, the Holy Spirit had not entered them yet.
That's true.
But it says, lead us. Why would the Lord lead anyone into temptation? That's what I was saying. Lead us not into temptation.
Now, you asked the question.
The
Bible says Jesus, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted.
That's right. Sure did. The Spirit did.
So that right there must be a different temptation of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to find out that temptation, what does that scripture mean?
Another thing is, too, when he came out, the devil tempted him.
Yeah, but the Spirit had him meant to be tempted.
Not tempt the Lord thy God.
Tempt the Lord thy God to do what? Now, if you look at that, look at the conversation. Tempt the Lord God to do what? To jump off of this.
Yeah.
He said, jump down from here.
To keep him from doing, tempting him to not do the will of God.
So tempting God, we have to do a Bible study on that, on temptation. And
also, when he went to pray, and he said he wished this cup could pass from him.
Uh-huh.
He was tempted at that time not to go through, but he said, but your will be done.
Yes.
So what he's probably saying, because we're in this human flesh, that temptation is going to come on us all the time.
Temptation to do what?
Not to do the will of God.
Thank you. Yes. Because remember, he even told his disciples, better pray here unless you be tempted.
That's right. Yes.
Tempted to do what? Tempted to stop me from going to the cross.
Yes. Yes. From doing the will of God.
Yes. So we have to look at that temptation there.
Right.
And what it applies to. But we know that Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. You know, by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So where are we at?
John 14:20-23. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not
Iscariot.
Iscariot.
He was another Judas.
Another Judas.
No, not Judas Iscariot.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Home in the heart of those who obey.
Yes.
He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. On that day, when he appears in you, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you.
Yeah. So where are we all at?
In him, in Jesus.
In the Father.
In the Father.
No.
Go on.
Yeah. Okay.
If Jesus is in his Father, he says this, that I am in my Father.
My Father. And well, he said, we're in Jesus. He said, and you are in me.
So where's Jesus at?
Yeah. And I am in you.
Where's Jesus at?
Oh, so we got to be in the Father too if we're in Jesus, because Jesus is in the Father.
Oh, thank you very much, man.
Yeah.
And the door open, and the curtain open.
That's right.
Yes. I am
we're
the Father.
All
you
in the Father.
Are in me, and I am in you. So where are we at? We're all in the Father.
That we will come to him and make our home with him.
We, yes.
We.
Father
right.
And I.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And make a
home. Heart. In your heart.
Yes. So what are you saying? That both are dwelling in us.
Yeah.
In our heart.
In our heart.
myself, that
yeah, he said, and if I go,
yes,
I go.
He said,
okay.
There ye may be also. Watch this. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Now he's praying to the Father here. But that thou shouldest keep them from the evil.
Not from evil.
Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on.
Wow.
I will come back again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. This is the return of Christ. The world does not see it. He returns with the Father. They become one with us, a union. Don't you understand?
It is a personal experience, not the resurrection.
It's something that the world doesn't see.
Yes. It is a personal experience.
They make a union with us.
Yes.
It is a personal experience. This is not the resurrection. He is talking about becoming one with the disciples. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you will keep and protect them from evil. So Jesus wants to keep us in the world, but to protect us from evil while in the world. To be sanctified.
Yes.
Father, I desire that they also whom you have entrusted to me may be with me where I am, so they may see my glory, which you have given me, your love gift to me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. We are physically still in the world, but our consciousness and sight translate to the kingdom of heaven, a higher dimension. God is in the same higher dimension. In him, we live and move and have our being, who is over all, in all, and through all.
And there it is.
Now, we're in this world, okay? Does everybody understand that?
Mm-hmm.
We're in this world physically, but our consciousness and sight translate to the kingdom of heaven, a higher dimension. Do you understand that?
Yes. The next sentence.
Yes, we understand it because he said faith is the things not seen.
That's right.
The evidence of things not seen. Right.
Yes.
So that's where our sight, we don't see. See, the world sees, like, what they can touch, but faith is the evidence of things not seen. That's why that makes our sight in a higher dimension. And also, we have never seen Christ yet we believe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Physically, your carnality has never seen him. But your spirit has.
Yeah,
because
spirit
he
has.
Says, all shall know me.
All
shall know
yeah.
me. He said, my sheep
know me already.
Know my voice.
Yeah.
And I know them.
So what we have to understand, remember, it's not the world can't see what God is doing inside of us.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
The world can't see God in us.
Yes.
Yeah. They both came
they
and made
Jesus
union with us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. there we have fellowship with the Father and the Son. We have fellowship with who?
The Father and the Son.
So with obedience to the cross, we can enter paradise while alive on earth.
Yes.
On earth. To be there forever, even after the second death. Please understand this. Why on this earth?
Break it. I have a question.
Yeah?
What does it mean when he says, so with obedience to the cross?
Dying.
Dying. Your will.
Yes. The inward clock. She was here last week.
Oh, yeah, the inward clock.
Yes, the inward clock.
Your will.
Having crucified the works of the flesh.
See, that's why Christ said, Paul said what? He said that there is no more, that he was buried with Christ. Let's go back, because that's very important.
He said that it's not him that sinned. It's not him that sinned, but...
Paul and seen Paul, that lives in him.